I guess he's putting the other book, the next book out already, but I have seen his book, and he has all those, and the things that are interesting about his book is the people he talks about are people that I knew.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember about the role of midwives?
Yeah, my grandmother was a midwife. I asked her once, I said, they used to tell us that, you know, she found a baby here, she found a baby there, and we all believed all this. And but after I knew once where she found the baby, I asked her, I said, what do you get when you go someplace to bring them their baby? And she said, well, as a rule, they give me $3. And if they're better off, they might give me $5. And if they're poor, I don't take anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, I know one time we were at grandma's house and a neighbor came and got her. I thought that was so awful on Christmas. It was on Christmas. My grandmother went and she went along. Mm-hmm. I thought I wouldn't have gone along.
Mm-hmm. And then was she gone a long time?
Well, it depends. Mm-hmm. I think we went home before she got back.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when my mother had babies, it usually took 2-3 days after I knew once where the babies. Before that, I didn't know. We were just put to grandma's house, and we didn't know. We came home, and there was a baby, you know.
So a midwife would come to your house, but you weren't there.
Yeah, like when, by the time I really knew, my sister's 10 years younger than I, and I only found out after she was born, mm-hmm. actually. But my grandmother was there. I know my grandmother was there the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times my mother had to have the doctor besides, but they would, and when my youngest brother was born, they got my mother's aunt just to be there, I think 3 days or something, and then finally they got the doctor. I think she was just there that if she needed her, but yeah, my grandmother went a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when my grandmother was living in Bismarck, then we got another neighbor lady. Like for some of them, my mother didn't have the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they'd get the midwife and then they'd have to get a doctor afterwards.
Were they ever paid in anything besides money? Like a chicken or?
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That they were given a chicken or maybe. See, I wouldn't know because. But this I asked my grandmother after I knew, you know, after I was older. And then she said. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my mother used to say when she later on when she thinks of it, when they got the midwife, I know for one of my sisters, she said then we didn't have a decent place for her to sleep. The poor woman had to sleep on the diamond port. So she must have slept and just watched, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Because like I say, my mother always had a hard time. I was looking for my handkerchief. I don't know where I dropped it. Or I think I said I was going to put it over here where
here it is. Okay.
It's just where I put it.
I'm going to ask you some questions now about funerals, if you remember anything about funerals or...
Yes, today. This was the day my grandmother died, today.
On February 1st?
On February 1st, and she was buried on February the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cold that those days the pallbearers had to dig the graves by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that one tells, he never forgets how they dug that grave inch by inch and just about froze.
Mm-hmm.
And what was hard at that time, they would just put ropes around the coffin. They didn't have rough boxes or anything. Usually were homemade. And then they put the coffin down with the ropes. And then when the priest put a little dirt on, then the pallbearers start. And that's when the people just screamed sometimes, because hearing that dirt go on that box, then everybody cried out loud pretty much that time, the family members. Mm-hmm. And they sang, they always sang a song, what we call Schicksal. And in that song they said, today it's me, and tomorrow it might be you, you know, as if the person itself, I mean, was mm-hmm. talking.
Did they sing that in German?
That they sang in German, and they still do in some places.
Do you remember it in German?
I don't, but there is a copy around in translated to that wall book that I have, mm-hmm. that I just got this week. I think they have it in there.
Mm-hmm. So when your grandmother, after she died, was she in your laying in the coffin in your home then?
In her home.
In her home?
In her home. But this sickness that she had and everything, she should have been embalmed, and she wasn't. So the last night they couldn't even keep her in the house anymore, and they couldn't take her into church.
What sickness?
Well, she had dropsy. But she had been sick for so long. And then, you know, mm-hmm. there was an old man there, and they said he left her on the paddock where she, you know, where she died, instead of laying her out on boards. And he's the one that made the coffin. And it was just the heat and everything. It was, and you didn't have a cold enough place. I mean, mm-hmm. they didn't have fire in there. And I remember them having washed tubs of ice under the chairs where the coffin was on. See, it was different. It was a homemade coffin, just on chairs. And
mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Okay.
But anyway, they had to. She had to be out overnight, and she couldn't get. They couldn't take her to church. But the rest, when my grandfather died, then Sister Leon and I were cousins, and we slept in the same room where the coffin was, because he wasn't. I think. I don't think that he was kept as long. And again, I mean, he had been sick a long time, but not a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember sleeping in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And people were awake all night. I mean, people would, neighbors would come, and I remember them telling, reminiscing, mm-hmm. telling stories and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then have lunch at midnight. And
so did they have a funeral mass in the church then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they still, like my grandmother, they couldn't take her into the church, but they had a mass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Now, where your grandparents are buried, are there wrought iron crosses as grave markers?
No.
No.
There were two, and they took them out and put
the granite stone.
My great grandparents have the granite, but there were some that died in 1918 in the flu, mm-hmm. from the flu, and they had iron ones, and I think there were only two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some families had special designs in their crosses for grave markers. Do you remember if your family ever did?
We didn't.
No.
I mean, just the name,
okay.
and they had their pictures in. My parents don't have the pictures, mm-hmm. but they did.
Okay.
And by the time my parents died, I mean, that was all. They were automatically taken to the funeral parlor right away.
Right. Mhm. Okay. Do you remember,
another thing they did? Like in my day, when my great-grandfather died, my grandfather's brother and so on, they took him to church, but two people walked ahead of the procession.
Mm-hmm. Why was that?
I don't know. I think that was the custom. I mean, that's the way it was supposed to be. Because when my great-grandfather died, they had a truck already, but two people walked ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And when my grandfather's uncle died, I remember them too. And they just barely moved, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it says here, now, in what way was religion and church education an important role in your spiritual upbringing? Like, did family prayer play an important part of everyday life?
Right. Like I say, we said that little prayer as soon as we started talking, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, we just knew that you prayed in the morning when you got up, you prayed at night when you went to bed,
mm-hmm.
and before meals. After meals, it was forgotten more. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they didn't all get up at the same time or whatever, and you were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But morning and night, that was a must. And I remember, see, my mother would say night prayers with us, and my father, especially when we once had the radio, he was listening to the radio. But no matter, before he went to bed, he said his prayers, and we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we wanted to ask him something, you know. So we waited because we knew when he would do this, that now he's just about finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd mm-hmm. get to ask what we wanted. And when he didn't have the radio, I think it was the newspaper. And then he always went over to Grandpa every night, too, because we lived so close and my grandmother had died. And they had a glass window in their door, and we'd look in, and my dad and uncle and grandpa would sit there reading the paper, but it was just the idea that they were together.
Mm-hmm.
And during Lent, my father would read Bible history to us.
Mm.
And that was in German.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would read that far, and then he would ask, do you know now what that means or whatever? Then he would explain.
Mm-hmm.
This was during Lent, and also the rosary was said every night during Lent.
Do you remember any special festivities relating to baptisms or confirmations?
The godmother came,
mm-hmm.
and the godmother and godfather took the baby, and the godmother took holy water and sprinkled, lifted up. That I remember of one of them for sure,
mm-hmm.
and sprinkled the baby with holy water.
In the house or at the church?
Before they took it to church,
okay.
Before they left the house.
Mm-hmm.
And for confirmation, you had the confirmation sponsor and you had me about that.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to go through confirmation classes?
Well, we had 6 weeks of German instructions in the summertime and religious, you know,
mm-hmm.
lay teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then every Sunday we were supposed to have it in church. Every other Sunday we had high mass and then Father. But what it was mostly questions and answers out of the catechism, and that my dad had to do for us too because we couldn't read German. So my dad taught us our catechism. I mean, the,
mm-hmm.
the night, you know how you leave everything till the last minute, the night before that you knew that the priest was going to
quiz you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our school was like, too. We practically had to memorize everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we didn't know what it meant, but later on it came, you know, you wanted to know later on. And
mm-hmm.
we always prayed for a happy death and always prayed to the sorrowful mother. And in German, it's such a big word. I didn't know what sorrowful meant.
Mm-hmm.
Only but after you got.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to ask you some questions regarding your decision to become a sister. Or these are questions specific to men and women in the religious life. Okay, here's a question says, so what were strong religious influences in your daily life? I think we just talked about some of that. How did you decide to enter the religious life and who influenced you?
Well, my mother had a cousin that she was from St. Joe's. She came that I remember as a very small child. But then later on, Sister Imelda, I think, was the one when she came that was a big, she was from our parish.
Mm-hmm.
And belonged in the same church. And then I heard Father say once that he has been wanting to get sisters and he can't, he just don't have enough or something like that. Then I thought, well, if nobody goes to be, you know, to be a sister. But then at the same time, a bunch of them went to Hankins and to school. And so I decided, though, I wanted to go to Garrison because Sister Imelda, I think it was probably Sister Imelda.
Mm-hmm.
And our people always spoke high of, about sisters. I mean, they never, they always, a sister or a priest, anybody had a priest or a sister in the family. But I think what really, and I did like to pray. I mean, I liked to go to church. But I think what I really wanted to do is teach children to pray, I always thought would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do. But then by the time I entered, and then I know one time my mother said if I wanted, see, I couldn't go to high school because I was needed at home. And then at one time my mother said, made a remark, if I would want to be a sister, I could, you know, go to. And I thought, if I have to be a sister to go to school, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I always felt she needed me. But when after I heard Father say, you know, and I thought, well, we could at least try it. And Sister Imelda was always kind of, we need more sisters, we need more sisters. But I don't know, I guess it's, that's what really kind of, I thought I'll try it.
How old were you when you
I was
went
almost,
away?
I was 21.
Oh.
Because, yeah, I must have been 21 and then in, I ended in fall, I would have been 22 in January.
Mm-hmm.
Because by that time I just knew I needed to do something different.
Mm-hmm. So what was your family's reaction when you told them you wanted to try to go to be a nun? Were they in favor of it?
They were in favor, but only my mother thought, my mother was always crying. She thought she can't let me go, she thought. She wanted me to be, but she didn't want me to leave home, you know. Like in those days, the rules were much stricter. You couldn't come home but once in 5 years. And I think my father was proud, I mean, kind of, you know, he said what he was encouraging.
Mm-hmm. So you could only come home once in 5 years?
Once in 5 years, and then that was 10 days. And that included the day, your traveling days.
Could your family come visit you?
They could. But like when we were novices, they weren't supposed to come.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, if they did come, you were not allowed to eat with them. And that really, my mother could never understand, that we were not allowed to eat with them, ever. But then when we went home on vacation, those 10 days, I mean, there was, then you had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother could never, she always said, after we brought you up and everything, now we can't have a meal with you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it was.
Where did you go to be a nun?
Minot.
To Minot. Okay. How did you get there?
With the bus. And we were so excited, we had never been in a bus. Sister Leon and I went together. The tires were rationed at the time. So the parents couldn't afford to take us. So then later in the fall, the priest, you know, had was tires were available to them or, you know. So then the priest brought my mother and Sister Leon, my mother and father and Sister Leona's mother to Minot.
Mm-hmm. So this
but
was,
we couldn't eat with them.
This was right during World War II then? That's why the tires were...
Yeah, 1943 is when we ended.
Mm-hmm. So were you able to write letters to your family, or could you get letters from friends and family?
We could get letters, but they opened them. We never got a sealed letter.
Did they read your letters that you mailed out?
Yes, and we were never allowed to seal any.
Wow.
I mean, whether they read them or not, but we were not allowed to seal them.
Hmm.
And we were allowed, I think, to write every 2 months, but I didn't even get that much done but my mother wrote every week. But I never got a sealed letter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't know how long that went on. When we stopped it, I'm not sure. To have having the letters censored.
Mm-hmm. And then here's a question here. Do you recall the anti-garb law?
Yes. I was in Hague when the sisters had to change the first time.
And now, what was this anti-garb law? In the late 40s?
They were not allowed to teach in the public school with the garb.
And the garb was?
The full habit.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we had that. Mm-hmm. But even they were not allowed to wear any, you know,
mm-hmm.
no garb. It had to be lay clothes.
Mm-hmm. So if a nun went to teach in a public school, they could not wear the habit.
Right, and I was in Hague when it happened the first time. I mean, when they changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then our poor sister Scholastica, you know, she was real conservative. But it was obedience, and she put on lay clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come home from school and change into their garb before they went to prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they can, you know, pray without. And then at night when they went to school to do their schoolwork, I think they kept it on because there was, you know, as long as they weren't teaching it, they
mm-hmm.
in the garb.
Mm-hmm. So you would wear like dresses?
Yeah,
to
they wore
teach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like Sister Scholastica had been in the community 25 years now, had trying to fit something on, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
But she wore, she had her hair done once, had it, but then she wore the turban. She just wasn't comfortable, so she wore
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
kind of a cap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
do you remember how the community felt or what the community thought about this legislation?
Well, they felt bad, but they thought in obedience, that's what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we, I think, all prayed for those that had to
mm-hmm.
do it and sympathized with them. And Father Niebuhr gave a sermon to the people before school started and said, we're going to be seeing the sisters dressed different. We're going to see the sisters dressed like you are. And I hope that you respect them and put yourself as if you had to be dressed like a sister and go to school now, what it would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that they're doing it for you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because it became a law. And the thing, it wouldn't have happened, but the way it was written up, people didn't understand where it was yes and no, what sounded like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's for it, was against it.
Mm-hmm. What was the purpose of it? Why didn't they want the nuns dressing like a nun?
Well, that was the legislators did it that way, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They just, it was,
mm-hmm.
I think they thought if they're getting paid by the government, or, you know,
separation of church and state,
maybe? Yeah, so they were not allowed to wear the habit. And I know we had one neighbor north of our place in our township, and he always came and helped, you know, work there at election day, and that day he didn't appear, so my dad went to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, he thought being he's the only Protestant in the area, and if there was one vote that was against, they would think he did it. And my dad told him, you come, we meet you, and you don't have to worry about that. Well, and then they found out that a lot of people thought they were voting against it and were voting. I mean, the yes and no were so opposite from each other that it passed, that they had to wear the late clothes. Okay, now.
God's Corner.
Okay, we had, every home had what they called God's Corner. And in the, and there we had three big pictures. In the middle we had the crucifixion. On one side the Sacred Heart, and the other side the Blessed Mother. And then in the then we had a little shelf in the corner, and that had crucifix, candles, and sometimes a little flower or something. Or if you had statues, you had the statue there. We didn't have a statue until later on, I remember. And then you put the nice cover you could make. You made a cover, and that was really a special place. And when the Christ Kindle came, that's where we sat. And when we prayed, that's where we looked to the in God's corner. I mean, that was our kind of like our altar or whatever you would call it. And I guess that's pretty much every home had that. And then what was the next
question? And then I'm going to ask you about religious customs practiced in your home, like feast days or names days.
Well, name days, all of us, like my name was Mary Ann, so we didn't have a special day for that. We didn't know what. It was my birthday. And then all the cousins in the neighborhood, I mean, they came, and you got either a holy card or maybe a piece of candy, or oranges were rare, so those usually we got for Christmas. Some little thing, and they wish you a happy birthday. And Kenegonda had a name day. Hers was in March. John had name day. Andrew had name day. There we kept the name days. Caroline and Annie were twins. There we kept the birthday. And then poor Julia, I don't remember that we... Yeah, she would have had St. Julia. So, but that's the way we did it. And
so you had special foods and a party either on the name day or...
Well, we didn't, I was the oldest, and I guess maybe spoiled, because for my birthday we had special things. After I got older, then we had a little dance, but before that I had candy to pass around, or popcorn or something to give to them when they came. But the others usually, it just came and brought you something, and then they went home.
But you said you had a little dance? When you got older?
Yeah, by that time I was maybe 18 years old, and so my cousin played the accordion. And other than, it wasn't like that it went all night. And otherwise, the name days, like my dad's name day always fell in Advent, and so they didn't dance. So they just sang and played cards and ate a lot. I mean, kept passing food around all night until later on. Then my mother said, let's have it on the 10th. There's a St. Andrew on the 10th. Then his brothers can come from Bismarck and they can dance. I mean, and they'll have a dance.
Like in a barn? A barn dance?
No, we had it in the house. In the summer kitchen by the time we moved to the other place. But otherwise, it was just in the house. But then... my father just didn't like it. I mean, he still felt that his real name day was on the 30th. And I had a sister that had birthday that same day, and so he just didn't like to have that they changed, but they changed it so they could celebrate different.
Mm-hmm. So the name day was the day that the saint was?
Yeah, this, after the saint that you were, like now, my name is Jeanette. Well, I had to find a saint, so I have Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to learn about them, and I don't know how much those people learn, but anyway, they always celebrated. Usually, if the husband's name day was in during the winter, then they celebrated the husband's name day, like August Eberle's. August would be in August only. Mm-hmm. And Catherine was in November. Well, in August, people are too busy yet. So in November, then they're, so then they had kept Catherine. Or Miller's, I don't know when St. Gabriel even was, they kept their dad's birthday then because that fell in the winter. They tried to kind of have it when it was in the winter, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any special customs or festivities that were practiced on New Year's Day?
Yeah, they always went around and shot, you know, after midnight they came with the shotguns and shot and wished them. Then they came in and they usually had some special sayings, kind of in the form of a prayer that they mm-hmm. recited together. Maybe four or five neighbor boys.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember these sayings?
Yeah, but I remember the New Year wish that we always wished was a long one too. And that other one that they later on, they used to say that one together, but later on they said another one together. But I don't, all I remember what it had in there, and we'll drive to heaven in a wagon. You know, it was, and it was said kind of in the form of a poem,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, it had it rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother always put goodies out the night before that mm-hmm. when they come.
Mm-hmm.
They usually got a little drink and a plate of all kinds of goodies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they just waited for that. I mean, the people that had them come, were waiting for it, and the people that came, I mean, it was just special for them.
Sure.
And it was always men, you know, usually coming, maybe with a sled or whatever.
And the mm-hmm. women didn't come?
No, it was always just the men. Just men came.
Oh.
And they came in the middle of the night, after midnight.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they came after mm-hmm. midnight.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the name of any German newspapers you received in your home?
The Staatsanzeiger and the North Dakota Herald.
Okay. And did your whole family gather together to read the paper, or
no,
just your dad?
Just my dad always read. And if he read anything that he thought would be of interest to everybody, he would maybe mention it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you ever remember reading the funnies or the comics?
I never did, and I don't to this day. I didn't have that kind of time.
Oh. And do you remember, or what do you remember most about when your family first got modern conveniences?
I was gone.
Oh, you were already gone?
I had left home by mm-hmm. then.
Even electricity?
Yeah, I was gone for a moment.
And you talked about the radio, the early days of radio. You had a
battery-operated radio, and about, I think that was in 28.
Uh-huh.
And then when Father Slag used to talk on Sunday nights, then our neighbors would come, Uncle Joe and maybe other neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when my dad would always listen to Amos and Andy, and he would also listen to the news. There was news then. Mm-hmm. And then we tried to be quiet during that time.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember your mother in the evening sitting around and doing sewing activities or making bobbin lace or
No, she made those black shawls with those long tassels,
mm-hmm.
and they maybe had about, I can't say how many, but it seems like about 6 spools of thread going at the same time. If you, and you had, excuse me, knot them a certain way, you know, it, she'd have to put flat iron on to,
mm-hmm.
to keep them, you know, so she could handle them. And she was about the only one around there that could make them. She was, whenever she had any time, she was making those. They were done with black silk thread.
Mm. What were they called? A shawl, but you said a name.
A holster.
Holster?
Okay. Yeah. And then she put those, knots in. Yes, she's going to get me some water.
Here. Okay, do you remember any of the tasks that the women specifically did concerning either work outside or in the home or with food?
Well, I guess the women did everything. I mean, as far as they did the cooking, the washing, taking care of the babies. And my mother was lucky. My dad would help along whenever he could. I mean, like, if a baby was sick at night and he had to get up too many times, I mean, he would get up sometimes and things like that. But other than that, and then they had to cook with whatever they had. They didn't just, so they made a lot of meals out of, with flour.
Do you remember any German foods like borscht or?
Oh, yeah, borscht. Borscht we would have in the spring. I mean, when the first garden vegetable came in, then we used the tops of the vegetables, like beets and carrots, too. Mm-hmm. But we would make borscht soup, and Sundays had to be soup. Sundays you had to have soup. And in the wintertime, we usually had beef. They butchered the beef, maybe shared it with somebody else when their family was smaller and mm-hmm. later on. And then you always had soup on Sunday. We always had sausage for breakfast. And my father brought the sausage in and put it on the stove. And then the folks milked. I mean, especially when we went to school once, because you didn't get much to eat at school at noon, and we were never, ever allowed to go without eating, and we had to eat sausage for breakfast, or and mm-hmm. maybe oatmeal or grits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to eat breakfast, because all you had in school was maybe some jelly that mm-hmm. had soaked up the bread, because they didn't have sure gel or maybe or stretch it as much as they could. And we usually had an apple. I mean, that, mm-hmm. that we had. But besides soup, once in a great while in the winter time, you had the, what they make pork chops out of now, but at that day, those days, they didn't, they left the whole back bone kind of together. And they cooked that with sauerkraut and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad, in order to have real sauerkraut and potatoes, he wanted everything cooked together. I mean, right now they have mashed potatoes with sauerkraut, but he said that's not sauerkraut and potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if the women ever did field work?
They always, that was, then, I mean, they milked.
Mm-hmm.
And, as far as the field work went, yeah, they did mow hay, they rake hay, they would stack the hay stacks and the grains, and they had to stack the grain stacks, you know, when they with heather. And then, like, we couldn't afford to hire somebody, we didn't have enough horses, and so was my uncle in the same position. So then we did the heathering together, and
mm-hmm.
just in order to have enough horsepower and enough manpower.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mothers babysat and the other one stayed. When they had it at our place, my mother cooked and my aunt stayed. And when they had it at their place, my mother stayed and she cooked and babysat. Yeah, the women. That, I mean, that was just understood that they had to stake the grain in the manure piles. I mean, that the manure that they stored for the winter, that was all in special blocks, and that was all the women's job. I mean, the men never. And then the kids later on, I mean, we would do shopping and stuff. I don't think my mother did shopping. I think they did more heathering at that time, and by the time they did shopping, then we were able to.
What is heathering?
I just got a book lately with the picture in it. You cut the grain, and then it's augured up into the box, and your heather box was different than a hay rake. It was lower on one side, that where, and then you had to, somebody was on the box and stacked it, and then they took it and unloaded it on, and made stacks. The woman stacked it and the man threw it, and then in the fall they came with the thresh machine, and they always had the stacks that they could get through two stacks with the threshing machine.
Okay.
And I think I think that straw they hauled home. I'm quite sure. The binding, when they binded, that straw was all put on one pile.
Okay.
But anyway, that's in the those days they had it more until we got bigger.
Well, Sister Jeanette, I think we're going to close now. I'll just ask you a couple more questions here. Are there, you know, is there any other observations you want to share? Or,
well, there was no babysitting hired.
Okay.
I mean, the older, either the parents took the children, the mother was always home. First of all, and when she had to go in the field, the oldest child was responsible. And when they went away, when we once were about 7, 8 years old, they left us home and maybe took the baby along. And so there was, they didn't need, have babysitters ever. When the mother had the baby at home, then they would hire a girl to come in until mother got out of bed, and at that time we usually stayed in bed for longer. There was something else I was going to say that came and it just left so fast that we had they never hired a carpenter or anything. Like, they had one man to supervise. They paid him a little, and the rest, the neighbors came either with a saw or a hammer or a saw and a hammer, and they worked until they had the building finished. At the end, when everything was finished, then they had a barn dance if the barn was big enough. And otherwise, but there was no hiring. I mean, that was all volunteers. I mean, the neighbors, when they knew somebody was building, automatically they helped each other. There was just, you had hired one for to supervise it for the blueprint and so on, and the rest was all volunteer help.
Okay, do you have any other comments you want to make?
Not that I can think of right now. I think I said no.
Okay, well, thank you. This
You're
was
welcome.
A wonderful interview.
Yeah.